All right, we are live
Here with a Schloss rant, early Sunday morning, late Saturday night here, live from the Philadelphia suburbs. We're going to give you some Week 5 picks. We're going to talk about a little bit of the baseball with the Mets. We're going to be playing most likely a Game 3 tomorrow. And also talk about the upcoming run for the New York Yankees, as we now know that they are going to be facing the Cleveland Guardians. So let's get it rolling first with the picks. Now, I'm not doing good with these picks recently. We know that we're sitting at 3-5-1. We didn't do week one because, again, I said this before, I like to have the season marinate. I like to have the season get going and get started before I kind of drop the knowledge, drop the picks. And, you know, first week we're 2-1. And then we go 1-2, and then we went 0-2-1. So not a great start. We're 2 under .500, but that one push also as well. And I tried to come up with some games here that I felt pretty good about, kind of even just ignoring the number, thinking about, all right, do I feel like this team can actually win the game? So let's start with the first game, and we've got the Titans minus the 5.5 at the Washington Commanders. So I'm going to bet the road favorite Tennessee Titans here, laying the 1.5. And I just think because Tennessee's on a good upswing, they've won two games in a row. Derrick Henry's getting the ball a little bit more. And quite frankly, Washington stinks. They are just not good. I know they won in week one against Jacksonville, but they have just not been able to resemble a quality NFL team. So we're not going to bet them. Is this line a little fishy? Perhaps, but you know what? We're going to go with our gut. We're going to go with the Titans laying that 1.5. The next game, the Chargers at Cleveland. Another game where 1.5 is the number we're focused on here. And we're going to take this time the underdog, the home underdog, Cleveland at 1.5. Listen, the Chargers won last week. They covered against the Texans. It looked like for a brief minute there, the Texans would cover that 5.5-point spread. But I think the Chargers playing a second game here on the road, back-to-back, I think Cleveland's good enough to play some run clock control to try to slow down the Charger weapons. And I think that Cleveland's good enough, especially to play that clock control when they're using Nick Chubb and when they're getting Kareem Hunt in the mix as well. And Jacoby Brissett has not been bad filling in there for Deshaun Watson. So give me Cleveland getting 1.5 as a home dog. And then the next game we're going to play is going to be the Cowboys at the Rams. We're going to play the Rams here minus 5.5. The Rams coming off yet again another regular season loss to their division rival San Francisco. And I just think that the Rams, eventually, things just have to click. We know Allen Robinson, he's had all the struggles. But maybe this is the week that all the struggles go away. Maybe this is the week that the Rams show why they won the Super Bowl. And I think laying 5.5, yeah, that's a lot of points to lay. I mean, if you know my general philosophy, whether or not it's worked this year is a different story. But my general philosophy is I like to get points. I don't like to lay points. And 5.5 in this spot is kind of a lot. But it's still less than a touchdown. And you'd have to figure eventually teams are going to have the breakdown of Cooper Rush, considering he's not very mobile. And you're not really, you know, he's not really winning with his legs. So maybe the Rams can figure out a way to stop him, to draw something up to make sure they contain him. So to summarize the picks, we got the Titans laying the 1.5 at Washington. We've got the Chargers at Cleveland. We're going to go Cleveland taking the 1.5, and then we're going to go the Rams as a 5.5-point favorite when the Cowboys come to play them. All right, so the baseball postseason has started, and we also got the Giants playing in just about 9 hours. So let's talk about the Giants first, then we'll get into the baseball. So the Giants, I mean, to look at this game and say that the Giants should win this game, that's just not accurate at all. They're 8-point underdogs. They're facing a tough Green Bay team. Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. And with Jones, You know he got his clock run last week. You know his ankle hurt. And my biggest concern with Jones this week in London, in 9 hours from now or so, is that if his ankle injury is still not fully healed up, and you can, say what you want about an injury report or whatnot, but if he's not the Daniel Jones that can run freely without thinking about it, it's going to be ugly for the Giants because I'm just not sure he can move the ball down the field the way he'd want to because the receiver situation for the Giants still just is not good. I'm excited though for the game to be on early. I think that the Giants obviously are not the favorites to win the game. But anytime your team is 3-1 as a fan, especially when they've been so bad for so long, you're pumped up about it. So you'll see what the Giants are going to be able to do tomorrow. Hopefully they come through with a win. Hopefully, and make miracles and magic happen there over on the other side of the pond. All right, the next thing we're going to talk about is the baseball and specifically the Yankees. So the Guardians won today in 15 innings, 1-0. They won yesterday 2-1. And they're going to go play the Yankees starting on Tuesday. The time is still to be determined. I hope it somehow they can start it at 4 o'clock, but I just truly don't see that. So for the Yankees, what Cleveland's got, they got good pitching. Okay. Tristan McKenzie pitched a great game today. They got Bieber. Bieber should be able to work his way into either game one or game two, I would think, just based on the number of days of rest. And the other thing that Cleveland's got that really the Yankees don't have, they don't have a player like Jose Ramirez. Yes, the Yankees have Aaron Judge. There's no doubt about it. But I think Jose Ramirez is a different player. I should say really an infielder because Judge can definitely do anything Ramirez can do. But the Yankees don't have an infielder quite as impactful as Jose Ramirez. You saw that he was the difference in the game one of that series. He hits the two-run home run. I mean, that's a guy who does really everything well on the field. He can hit for power. He can hit for a pretty good average. He can steal a base or two, and he plays solid defense in the field as well. So that's a guy you're definitely scared of if you're the Yankees. But Cleveland is just, they're not really an offensive juggernaut. You saw how they won these two games to advance to the next round. They're not going to be relying so much on big power bats like the Yankees do with Judge and Stanton, and even to a lesser extent, Anthony Rizzo. Cleveland is a team that puts the ball on the bat, and I think that that might give Yankees, somewhat of some struggles here. Overall, I think the Yankees are going to win the series, but I think they're going to have to work. It might go 5 games. It might take the entire 5 games for them to win the series. Now, when it comes to the guys that have got the biggest pressure on them for the Yankees, I'm not going to say Judge is on that because of the incredible individual regular season he just had. So I think the pressure is kind of off of him. Now, do I want him to go, 0 for 21 in the series? No, of course not. But I think the pressure is kind of off him. I think the pressure lies solely on the shoulders of Gerrit Cole because this guy has spit the bit in the postseason. Well, definitely last year he spit the bit. Against the Red Sox. He didn't even make it out of the third inning. What a joke that was. So I think for him, he's got to step up. He's got to get the Yankees definitely out of this round against Cleveland. I think the Yankees have to make a World Series or else this season's a total bust. Forget even about winning. I think they got to make the World Series. So I think the pressure's on Cole. Stanton has shown you over the past two postseasons, the bubble one in San Diego, plus the one game last year, that he can be a dominant force in the middle of the lineup. A guy who, quite frankly, he wrecks the game when he comes in there and hits a big monstrous home run and the crowd for the Yankees gets back into it. And that could carry you a lot in the postseason. I mean, if you used to go to old Yankee Stadium and go to those games in the postseason, it was as loud as can be. Stadium now, the new one, it just is not as loud. But when Stanton hits big home runs, that'll get you on the right direction and trying to make that stadium as loud as humanly possible. So for the series, for the Yankees and the Guardians, I say my official prediction is Yankees in 5. I think Cleveland's going to hang tough. Cleveland's going to fight. They got two really good starting pitchers they can throw at you. They can throw at you Cal Quantrill as well, who's a nice kind of middle-of-the-road starter, really relies more on his fielders to get outs, not really a big strikeout guy, had way less, I don't have this right in front of me, but I had Quantrill on the fantasy team, way less strikeouts than innings pitched. So, he's not going to sit there and rely on the strikeout because he can kind of pitch around you and make you put the ball in play, but still get outs as well. So give me the Yankees winning the series in 3-2. And I do, and I think I mentioned this on the pod before, I do actually have a Cleveland ticket to win the American League at plus 2,500. So, I mean, as a Yankee fan, I really don't feel like I feel like I can't lose because, yeah, I want the Yankees to win. But if Cleveland gets to the next round, sure, they wouldn't have won the American League, but at least I have a hedge spot for sure against the Astros, most likely, or the Mariners. And the Mariners look pretty darn good coming back from 7 runs today. So give me the Yankees, though. 3 games to 2. I think they're going to have to work pretty hard. And again, Gerrit Cole is going to have to step up. Now, the Mets. Let's talk about the Mets. The Mets, as of this recording, just after midnight, and I'm going to pull up the score just to make sure that I'm right, but I'm pretty sure the Mets were up 7-3 when I turned on to do this podcast. Yeah, the Mets are up 7. The Mets won the game 7-3. So they're going to be playing game 3 tomorrow. The only game 3 because the surprise, the Phillies swept the Cardinals in the 2 games to, move on. But the Mets are going to be the only game 3 tomorrow. I think they said around 7 o'clock or so. And really, for the Mets, it's been a tale. The 2 games, it's been a tale of two totally different stories. First game, Scherzer gets absolutely rocked, absolutely dominated. I mean, you have to wonder if his best days are behind him, if he's getting, rocked in a postseason start like that. And then DeGrom gives you a solid effort, but the bats definitely turn it on there for the Mets. McNeil had a big 2-run double to kind of blow the game open, get it to 5-2. So tomorrow, the Mets are going to throw Bassett. I'm not sure who San Diego's throwing. I'd have to look that up. But I like my chances of on the Mets with Bassett because he's a pretty good quality pitcher, definitely a third starter. So I think the Mets are going to win tomorrow and close out the series in 3 games. You obviously know sweep, the only one of these rounds that was not a sweep. So I like overall this new format with the 3 games at home for the better seeded team. I think it makes it exciting to have a little bit of extra playoff baseball, but not totally another full round. And I just think the 1 game elimination, while it's exciting, while it can produce drama, I just don't think it's fair because you go through a whole season if you're the Mets, so if there was just 1 game and the Mets won 101 games throughout the regular season and they lost yesterday, they would have been out. When they lost yesterday, they would have been out under the old format of the 1 game elimination. So I kind of like the best of three where you got to win two. At least it gives you another fair chance. The games that I have watched, overall they have not been great. I watched a little bit of the Mets lose last night getting blown out. Tonight they kind of pulled away at the end, so it wasn't too exciting. But when the game was around 3-2, it was pretty, that's when I was kind of locked into it and definitely paying attention to what was going on there. Now, another topic I want to talk about. And by the way, I think the Mets are going to win tomorrow, just to clear that up. Another topic I want to talk about. The NBA is coming back soon. The Knicks, in the little bits of the preseason that I've seen, they look pretty darn good. Jalen Brunson looks like he's really going to help lead this team, turn them around. They're not an NBA Finals contender. They're not even really a second-round contender to win a round in the first round. But I think that if they can get some more cohesion, play together, Julius Randle can be better than he was last year. I mean, because he was awful last year. Everyone was booing him. That would go a long, long way in helping the team. So I think you bringing in Jalen Brunson, I think RJ Barrett will continue to develop, hopefully. I think that is, and Julius Randle, I think that that's a team that can kind of probably contend for maybe a play-in spot, maybe get to the, I don't see them getting to the 6th seed, but you never know. And I'll take my chances from there if I can win a play-in round and move on to the first round, even if they lose. Look, the Knicks are still developing. We've been waiting as Knicks fans forever. I'll continue to wait. I'm glad that they didn't do any stupid trade. They still have cap flexibility. They still have some ways to maneuver the roster. They still got draft picks. So I think things are looking up for the first time in a while for the Knicks. Anyways, we're getting here till about 12:30 here on the East Coast. The Giants are playing now in about 8.5 hours. Pumped for the game tomorrow. It's going to be early, just like when I was living in Arizona. Eat a little breakfast, get yourself some pancakes, a bagel, you know, your iced coffee, your hot coffee, whatever it is, and, you know, enjoy the game in the morning because it's going to be fun. So, one other thing, though, before we go. Tonight, we went to over to Rivers Casino here in Philly, and we saw, not to gamble, not to, you know, bet on the sports, but we saw Jeremy Piven, the, you know, former character who played, or the actor who played Ari Gold on Entourage. So I want to give a brief rundown of the show. You know, he was very, very funny in Entourage. Everyone knows that. I mean, he almost had like a larger than life persona as the super agent. And in this comedy show tonight, he, you know, he's still living off of that character. And it was just interesting to see what that character would look like on stage in real life, as opposed to, you know, on the movie or on the TV, and I guess the movie, the Entourage movie set. So he leaned heavily on some of those Entourage jokes, screaming out Lloyd. You know, it's just interesting to see a guy go from the person who's a co-star in one of the, you know, at the time, incredibly popular TV shows, to then later, you know, performing in basically what was a glorified auditorium at the Rivers Casino here in Philly. So it was cool to see him up there. You know, he looks pretty much the same. He sounded pretty much the same, but just an interesting scenario, interesting spot that I thought I'd share, you know, in an actor you probably hadn't thought about in a while. So anyways, Schloss Rant, live, Philadelphia suburbs, Giants kickoff in about 8.5 hours. Let's go get this Big Blue tomorrow. Going to be a tough game. And my picks, again, we got the Titans laying the 1.5 at Washington. We got Cleveland getting 1.5 at home against the Chargers. And the Rams laying the 5.5 at home against the Cowboys. Schloss Rant. We'll see you later, everyone.